The Alaska State Senate will come to order for the 75th legislative day. Will the members please vote to signify their presence this morning? Would you record Senator Rohde then?
The roll shows 17 senators present this morning. Senators Abood, Fisher, and Strzelczyk are excused from the call of Senate today.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. We do have a quorum present for business. Will everyone please stand for a prayer by Reverend Milton Hunt?
Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God, we thank you for the end of another week of work and look forward to a couple of days of recreation of body, mind, and spirit. Lift the clouds that hang low over Gatineau Channel this morning. Raise up our spirits also, for they all too easily become depressed and rain from the heavens and the melancholy reports of Alaska's economic temperature. Point us to the positive aspects of this last frontier state with its marvelous talents and energies of its varied peoples. Help us to give thanks for the tremendous amount of renewable resources throughout our great land. O Lord, bless the yields of fields and forests, and make abundant the harvest from the depths of the ocean and the bowels of the earth. O Lord, increase in us hope for a better tomorrow and a brighter future. Give us a vision such as Ezekiel saw in the Valley of Dry Bones. For that picture not only inspired those Israelite captives in far-off Babylon to dream of return from exile, but became a ringing song of hope of freedom for the black slaves of America. Ring out a new song, O Lord, and lift our drooping spirits. Point us to your grace and victory which was consummated in the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. As you raised him, so raise us up. Amen.
Senator Binkley, will you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have the certification of the journal for the 74th legislative day?
I wish to certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 74th legislative day.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move to ask unanimous consent the journal for the 74th legislative day be approved and certified by the Senate Secretary.
Hearing no objections, the journal for the 74th legislative day is approved as certified by the Senate Secretary. May we have introduction of guests. Senator Eliason.
Madam President, we have some ladies here this morning from Klowok, that's down in Prince of Wales Island, the Emerald Island of Southeastern. They're here in Juneau for the Head Start program. We have Ernestine Cato, please stand, and Diane George, Henrietta Smith, Patty French, and Adelia Simpson. Welcome to Juneau.
Senator Hensley.
Yes, Madam President, we have in the gallery half the King Island tribe. From they happen to be, constituents of those of you who live in Anchorage, but since they're from up in the great northwest, I thought I would take the opportunity to introduce them. They were performing for the citizens of Juneau last night. It was very well attended. I'd like to introduce Paul Tiulana, his wife Clara, and daughter Lillian, and Simon and Helen Pushruck, and Jerome, and Ted and Agnes Mayak, Sylvester Ayak here in the corner, Margaret Nolik, and Leo Canuck Jr., and Earl Mayak, and I believe that's everybody from King Island. Thank you.
Senator Szymanski.
Thank you, Madam President. I just wanted to follow up on the introduction. A very special friend of mine, a person that has been a moving light in my life, Paul Tiulana, who was introduced, gave me a message when I first decided to run for office, and that was, one, remember all the people of Alaska need equal treatment and fair treatment, especially the Native people of Alaska, and the decisions you make be broad and be just so that they represent the all the people of Alaska and not just special interests. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Senator Duncan?
Thank you, Madam President. In the far gallery, accompanying the King Island Dancers are two constituents of mine, and I'd like to introduce them at this time, Debbie Bailey, who's with the Perseverance Theater, and Natalie Rothaus with Juno Arts and Humanities Council.
Senator Jones.
Madam President, it's a real pleasure for me to introduce three young men here from Ketchikan. Two of them, you're going to recognize their names because they're the grandsons, and you'll recognize of who when I say their names. And our fifth-generation Ketchikanites is Don Kubley and Wally Kubley. And the young man that's traveling with them is one heck of a baseball player, I'll tell you. It's Mike Nygaard. Please welcome.
Senator Krutula.
President, and from the Senate District, represented by, on behalf of Senator Szymanski and myself, there are a bunch of bowlers here and people accompanying them. I'd like to introduce Shirley Novak, Susan Brodigan, Jeremy Brodigan, and Angela Lawton, Amy and Steve Lawton, Phyllis and Andy Hobbs, Patricia Hobbs, Kip Rusher, Kenny Johnson, Bob Gillifon, welcome to the Senate.
Is there further introductions this morning? Senator Zaroff.
Yeah, thank you, Madam President. I don't have any introductions to make, but I would just like to add to the King Island Dancers. It was a wonderful performance last night, and it might leave the feeling there that with other members of the body that didn't have a chance to go last night, that they've missed an opportunity. But it's, as I was informed here, that there will be another presentation this evening at 8 o'clock at the A&B Hall. So if you missed it last night, you should certainly try to attend this evening, because I think it's a one-in-a-lifetime presentation, and it's a really a moving experience. I understand that they're also at noon going to be giving a presentation up at Capitol School for the younger people here in Juneau. So I'm sure that the younger people are going to be looking forward to that. And I would encourage anybody that didn't see it last night to see it this evening.
Thank you, Senator. Further introductions. Senator Fahrenkamp?
We have a brief at ease.
Hearing no objections, the Senate will stand at ease. Senate will come back to order, please. Are there further introduction of guests? Senator Fahrenkamp.
Madam President, we have Jean Flanagan Carlo. From our district, she's with the Alaska Institute of Native Alaska. Institute of Alaska Native Arts. I knew I'd miss it, Jean. Welcome, Ms.
Senator Hensley.
And with her is another former constituent. I don't know why they keep leaving, but Rose Atuk Fosdick, also with IANA in Fairbanks.
Further introduction of guests. Do we have messages from the governor?
There are no messages from the governor today, Madam President.
Do we have messages from the House of Representatives?
There are no messages from the House today.
Do we have communications?
There are no communications today.
Do we have reports of standing committees?
The Judiciary Committee considered Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 23, requesting the governor to appoint a peace officer nominated by the Alaska Peace Officers Association to serve on the Alaska Judicial Council, recommends it be replaced with the committee substitute with a new title. Senator Krutula, Chairman, and Senators Josephson, Rohde, Halford, and Sturgiduski signed do pass. A zero fiscal is attached. SCR 23 has no further referral.
Rules Committee, please.
The Resources Committee considered Senate Joint Resolution Number 35 relating to maintaining timber industry employment, funding of U.S. Forest Service operations, and the allowable timber harvest level in Southeast Alaska, an amendment of Section 703 and 705 of the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act. This is the same resolution as Senate Resolution Number 7, which was considered by Resources. So the Resources Committee is sending this on to Rules, since the other one got a 6-2 pass. This was not considered. It was just sent on to them, Madam President.
Rules Committee, then.
The Transportation Committee considers Senate Bill Number 17, Vandalism of Official Traffic Control Devices and Damages to Highways and Roads, and recommends it be replaced with the committee substitute transportation. Senator Jones, Chairman, and Senators Abood, Fahrenkamp, and Kelly signed due pass. There were 2-0 fiscal notes. SB 17 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
Judiciary considered Senate Bill Number 50, Dissolution of a Municipality, and recommends due pass with an amendment. Signed Senator Curtulo, Chairman, concurring Senators Josephson and Sturgiluski. SB 50 has a further referral to Finance. The Judiciary Committee considered Senate Bill Number 102, Reports of Missing Persons and Creating a Missing Person Information Clearinghouse, recommends it be replaced with the Committee Substitute Judiciary. Senator Curtulo, Chairman, and Senators Rohde, Josephson, Sturgiluski, and Hofford signed due pass. SB 102 has a further referral to Finance. The Judiciary Committee considered Senate Bill Number 135, Limiting Recruitment and Employment of Teachers Who Are Not Residents of the State, recommends it be replaced with the Committee Substitute Judiciary with a new title. Senator Curtulo, Chairman, and Senators Hofford, Rohde, Sturgiluski, and Josephson signed due pass. SB 135 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
The Transportation Committee considers Senate Bill Number 183, Dams and Reservoirs, and recommends due pass with an amendment and 2-0 and 1 fiscal impact note. Signing due pass for Senator Jones, Chairman, Senators Kelly, Abood, and Fahrenkamp. SB 183 has a further referral to Resources. The Resources Committee considered Senate Bill Number 191, amending the definition of big game guiding and prohibiting compensation of an unlicensed person for guiding, recommends it be replaced with the committee substitute Resources with a new title. Senator Coghill, Chairman, and Senators Jones and Sturgiluski signed due pass with a 0 fiscal. A letter of intent was also attached. Signing no recommendation were Senators Eliason, Jaroff, and Fisher. SB 191 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
The Rules Committee considers Senate Bill Number 41, Cabins on State Land, effective date, and recommends calendar on April 3. Signed Senator Eliason, Chairman, Senators Bennett, Binkley, and Fakes. This bill is on today's calendar, and those are the standing committee reports today.
Do we have reports of special committees?
There are no special committee reports.
Do we have introduction of Senate resolutions?
There are no new resolutions today.
Do we have introduction of Senate bills?
Senate Bill Number 233 by Senator Bennett, an act relating to sport fishing, hunting, and trapping licenses and providing for an effective date.
Resources, Finance.
That was the only new bill.
That brings us down to the consideration of the daily calendar.
Senate Bill Number 41 by Senator Bennett, an act relating to cabins on state land and providing for an effective date. The Resources Committee considered this bill and recommends it be replaced with the committee substitute Resources with a letter of intent and due pass. Signed Senator Coghill, Chairman, concurring Senators Jones, Eliason, Sturgiluski, Jaroff, Duncan, and Fisher. The Finance Committee considered this bill and recommends it be replaced with the committee substitute Finance and a majority due pass. Signed Senator Binkley, co-chairman, concurring Senators Fisher, Ewling, and Bennett. Senators Jaroff and Duncan signed no recommendation. A new 0 fiscal note was attached. There are 2 committee substitutes.
Senator Bennett.
Move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the Finance Committee substitute.
Hearing no objections, the Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 41 will be before us.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 41, Finance, by the Finance Committee, an act relating to cabins on state land and providing for an effective date.
Hearing no objections, the Senate will stand at ease. Back to order, please. We do have the Finance Committee substitute before us for Senate Bill 41. Have you read the bill the next time in Senate?
Yes, reading? I have read the committee substitute the second time.
Are there any amendments?
There is an amendment number 1 by Senator Zemanski on page 1, line 11, delete 1981, insert 1969.
Senator Zemanski.
Thank you, Madam President. I move and ask unanimous consent for adoption amendment number 1.
Second. There has been objection. Senator, do you wish to speak to your amendment?
Thank you. I'll speak to the amendment. I'll debate the merits of the bill under third reading, so I'll try to refrain from getting into broader discussion. The amendment was drafted based on what I saw in the committee process, an amendment that came out of the Resources Committee, and a position that I felt was probably logical, sound, and made some sense with regard to improving this legislation and making it at least palatable to some portion of the state of Alaska. The amendment before you recognizes that probably in 1959 when we had statehood and up through the next 10 years, we had turmoil with regard to the state of Alaska and a lot of uncertainty with regard to land issues. And in 1968, when the BLM freeze was imposed, we saw a lot of people wondering what was the status of land, and particularly land where they had been traditionally fishing, hunting, camping. And I think logic would prevail that 1969 would be a logical cutoff date. Anything beyond 1969 has no, from my perspective, any sound position, any reason or logic to be put into statute. Matter of fact, if you were to adopt the current bill in 1981, you might as well make it 1991 and open all the parks, state forests, and refuges for filing by all the citizens of the state of Alaska, and not just the few who violated the law in the past and who are being rewarded under the 1981 date. But we'll get into that probably in further debate. I think that 1969 is a sound date, one that is somewhat defensible, and certainly an improvement over 1981.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Halpert.
Thank you, Madam President. Because that I own, I think, four cabins on land that I think is all federal land, but I'm not sure what the state selections have been since then. All those cabins were constructed before 1969, as a matter of fact. But because I may have cabins on state land that I don't know the state has selected since I've last looked, I would move and ask unanimous consent. I'd be permitted to abstain from voting on this legislation.
There has been objection, Senator. You are not allowed to abstain.
Thank you, Madam President. I would say, just as a point of information, there were federal lands opened in 72 and 73, and there was staking on those lands. That may cause some conflict with the 1969 date. I do, in some ways, agree with both sides of the debate, but there were legal entries in question that were made in good faith, and the state later selected the land. Those may not be all the cases where we're simply talking about trespass cabins, but I think there certainly could be a compromise, and I don't think the 69 date would pick up all the legitimate and legal entries that were legal at the time they were made, but they weren't filed on later, and thereby became state land, and now people haven't got anything they can do with that. I certainly don't want to see this open wide open. I don't want to see us going out and ratifying everyone's trespass. But I think the legislation going back to 1981 is at least trying to limit that.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Bennett.
Thank you, Madam President. The 1981 was based on the Anilka settlement. 1981 actually was the date, and from that date forward, there's responsible audits of who had what land, and most of the trades have already taken place. I could go on for about 30 minutes describing a particular parcel up at 114 Mile Steese, but that's just one of several hundred parcels that, in fact, has been federal land, in fact, has been mining claim, in fact, has been native land, and it wasn't until about 1980 through trading that, in fact, it became state land. So these people really had no ability to ever purchase that land. This two-bedroom house that sits on that particular piece of property was built in 1934. But because it was built on a mining claim owned by someone else, they could never obtain a title to it. They've gone through window after window. And this would be the first window, since the state does own it, this bill is germane only to state land, that these people could, in fact, get title to their house, which they've had since it's been in various possessions since 1934. We're told by DNR, which I tend to think exaggerate maybe a little bit, that at best there's 2,000 such incidents in the state of Alaska. And I think if you'll take the 1981 date and, in fact, allow the Department of Natural Resources, as this does, the ability to make those decisions, they can resolve many of these long-standing claims for land. Also, it'll put a lot of families and a lot of people in a little better psychological position, at least with their state, because in fact they have to pay for the land, they have to pay for the survey, and in fact they will be proud owners of this acreage if this is allowed to happen. Thank you.
Senator Halford.
Just one other point that I think may have been missed by the maker of this amendment, and that is that the legislation says may sell not to exceed 5 acres. I certainly would not support the commissioner selling lands of late trespass in parks and reserves. I would not support ratification of trespass actions that were taken without any good faith, because I think there are some of those. But I think the legislation tells the management agency, which is designed to provide the discretion, that they may make these decisions, and they don't have to make the decisions. And I don't think we're going to see any kind of problem because of that discretion. I couldn't support the legislation if it said shall, because I think we'd be going far too far.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Curtula.
President, the Senate, through the President to the author, if possible. Senator Halford cleared up, and of course we can all read certainly this one-page piece of legislation. It's my understanding it is the author's intent that those areas of abuse and obvious abuse of the system, those areas that don't really, in fact, have a real historic significance, those areas in which people really thought and had every reason to think that they could settle their cabins, those areas are the only ones to which we're speaking, regardless of the broadness of the law, which has to be general. In fact, it is the intent of this law, and that's which I wish the author's speech, or statement, is intent of this law to leave the discretion with the commissioner, so those areas of abuse that are obvious, DNR is requested not to accept and not to allow for, so that people, other people that have been honest on this particular issue have not been abused by what not settling.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Szymanski.
Thank you, Madam President. If that was the intent, I'd probably feel a little more secure than I do with the legislation. But unfortunately, I look in a February 4th memorandum from the commissioner indicating that in their analysis of the bill, there are existing 15 statutes that provide for preference rights for persons, groups, giving priority or exclusive rights to purchase or lease lands.
Senator Szymanski, could we stick with debate on the amendment?
Right.
Okay. You're getting there. All right.
Getting good. The amendment covers that area that we're talking about, 1969 or in 1981 or as of this date. If you have a position that you feel is right, just, you have a process that's an existing statute to allow you have recourse. It's only when you go beyond the existing statutes by authorization of what are currently, and in many cases, blatant violations of trespassing on parklands, refuges, and state forests, that you need the additional language in this statute for protection, to sanction an illegal act. And 1981 is not necessarily a magic date, as I indicated earlier. 1981, it might as well be 1991. But 1969 is reasonable.
Thank you, sir. Senator Bennett. Question, has Senator Curtula?
It is still my understanding, and I see no reason not to believe it, that it is the intention of the author and is the directive, and so far as I can understand it, that DNR shall not accede to those people that are in obvious trespass and obviously playing the system.
Senator Josephson.
I would respectfully request through the chair that we get an answer to Senator Catula's comment from the sponsor, because I think if we're going to make legislative history, someday the administrator or the judge is not going to know that the senator from Fairbanks nodded when Senator Catula was speaking, and if that nod was meant to be in the affirmative, I'd like to have it on the record so that those people will be aided.
Thank you, sir. Senator Bennett.
Thank you, Madam President. Yes, my intent in this legislation, and I think it's the intent of many of the people who are supportive of it, that in fact we resolve as many, if not all, of the long-standing property disputes between our government and the people who basically feel they own the property, they feel they live there, they feel they have their heritage there, and in fact, it's the intent to make a resolve. Now, the intent of this language and why the language is so broad is because there are many, many different scenarios from Barrow to Ketchikan, from out on the chain to Toke. And you can't write a piece of legislation which will be germane to each and every one. This is why entrusting and charging the commissioner with the responsibility of making those decisions, to make the resolve, is very, very broad in this bill. And the intent is to put many of these conflicts behind us, to where the people aren't at loggerheads with their government. And I think the commissioner is more than capable of making those decisions and making this final resolve.
Are members prepared to vote on amendment number one? Question's been called. The question being, shall amendment number one for Senate Bill 41 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Has any senator failed to vote? Secretary, you may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Senator Josephson wishes to change his vote. Madam Secretary, you may record the vote. And so amendment number one has failed the Alaska State Senate by a vote of 5 yeas, 12 nays, 3 excused. Are there any other amendments?
There are no other amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 41 be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, place in final passage.
Hearing no objections, the Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 41 is before us for final passage.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 41, Finance, an act relating to cabins on state land and providing for an effective date.
Is there debate? Mr. Majority Leader. Senate will stand at ease. Order, please. We have a Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 41 before us in final passage at third reading. Senator Halford.
Madam President, the reason I asked for the at ease was to deal with the letter of intent. We have a Resources Committee letter of intent which requires a technical amendment, but it is desired that the letter of intent go on with the bill. So at this time, I move the Resources Committee letter of intent. I do not ask unanimous consent.
Senator Kelly, you object?
It's behind here. I just want to get the language.
Packet bill. The letter of intent is before us, and at this time I would move and ask unanimous consent that on the third line of the letter of intent, where it reads 1 acre cabin sites, it be amended to read 5 acre cabin sites to be consistent with the final version of the bill. I ask unanimous consent for the amendment to the Resources Committee letter of intent.
Senator Duncan?
Sure. I must be in a time warp. What have we just done? I mean, I thought we just approved that. We defeated an amendment, right? And the bill hasn't even been adopted. Why are we adopting a letter of intent?
In this, go ahead, Mr. Majority Leader.
And because members often consider the letter of intent in the vote on the legislation itself, it is the Senate policy to adopt the letter of intent before adopting the bill in its final form.
Strange thing.
Welcome to the Senate, Senator Duncan.
Well, I guess that's all fine. It's just that I've never heard of such a thing, Madam President.
Well, you haven't been here with us before, Senator Duncan.
Well, no, but I've been around this process for so long that I never knew you could adopt a letter of intent. What happens if we adopt a letter of intent and kill the bill?
Then the letter of intent, of course, dies with the bill.
Senator Duncan, I am going to rule that the Senate position, as long as I've been here, is that we adopt the letter of intent prior to the vote of the bill, and that's what we're going to do today if the letter of intent passes.
It's fine with me.
Thank you, sir. Senator Josephson?
Madam President, I'd like to comment on that. The Senate procedure is the better procedure because in response to the Senator from Juneau, if the bill is killed, then nobody has to look at the letter of intent for guidance as to what the legislature meant, so it's a non-problem. By adopting the letter of intent before passage, we provide the courts and the bureaucracy with an aid to interpretation of what the legislation means, just as the comments from the author on the floor, or other senators in debate, committee reports, and committee hearings are extrinsic aids to the interpretation of a measure, and all of them come before the passage of a bill. If we did it after the fact, There's a lot of mischief that can be made because I may vote for this bill, and then after we do so, there's a letter of intent passed that, or a statement made about the bill that wasn't brought up at the time the measure was before us. The Senate procedure is, I think, the correct procedure and is in accord with the procedure of most parliamentary bodies.
Thank you, sir. Senator Curtula.
Further, the tradition was established in the Senate at the directive of the Attorney General at the time, Admiral Gross, who stated succinctly exactly that to which Senator Joseph is now stating. He said that no letter of intent would be accepted by that administration unless it was adopted in advance for the reason Senator Joseph has stated. That
Thank
was a letter
sir.
To the Senate.
Senator Duncan.
President, I give up. Okay. And you know, I think I'm becoming convinced that everything the House does is probably not in the best order. When I was over there, I used to think it was correct.
We're glad you're with us, Senator Duncan. Senator, Mr. Majority Leader, would you state your motion
Madam
again,
President,
sir, please?
The motion before us is to amend on line 3 of the resources letter of intent, the 1 acre to read 5 acres. I ask unanimous consent for the amendment to the resources letter of intent.
Hearing no objections, the amendment has been adopted.
Thank you, Madam President. That brings the main motion before us, which was the adoption of the letter of intent. And I move and ask unanimous consent that the letter of intent provided by the Resources Committee be adopted as the letter of intent of the Senate, as amended.
Hearing no objections, the Resources Committee substitute that has been the Resources Committee letter of intent that has just been amended on this floor will be adopted as the Senate letter of intent.
Thank you, Madam President.
Is there discussion on Senate Bill 41? Senator Szymanski.
Thank you. No time warp, but I'm sure glad we got here to third reading so that we could have a little discussion on the merits of the bill. The legislation before you is no new piece of legislation by any means. It's been around for several years. Matter of fact, it was so fresh last year, it was presented to then-Governor Sheffield, who had an opportunity to scrutinize the concept and idea, and finding it unpalatable, vetoed the bill and legislation. And in June 20th, 1986, Senate Journal, I'm looking at, and I'll give you just a few, for instances, why it was vetoed. The message from the governor then indicated that one program was a good one, being the one which was a user cabin. There was two programs embodied in that legislation. The second program, this legislation, however, was both bad law and poor public policy. The bill would have created a new land disposal program, one that automatically and arbitrarily excludes the vast majority of Alaskans. And that's not right, unquote. I believe we can set up a public use cabin program, such as the one described in the bill, but administrative means. But, he went on to indicate that the legislation before us was not in any way, shape, or form an equitable program. He indicated that giving a small group of people an exclusive opportunity by choice state land after years of unauthorized use is unfair to those Alaskans who have brought or proved up on state land through lawful land disposal programs. Madam President, I'm a lifelong Alaskan. I was born and raised here. I've watched a lot of changes in this state. And looking back in history, I think that what we found is that we've always looked for equity, fairness, in treating all the people of Alaska in a similar way. As a matter of fact, the preamble, or actually the inherent rights of the people of Alaska, were presented in the Declaration of Rights, and I won't read them to you, under inherent rights of the public in the first section of our Constitution, which basically ensured that all policy decisions are going to be equal, fair, and treat all the public in a way which we would want to be. No special interest. I guess it's coincidence that Paul Tialana, a friend of mine this morning in the gallery, reminded me of that when I looked at him. I Also take note, again, of the February 4th message from the Commissioner of Natural Resources, whose response to the bill was, quote, because it would grant a preference right not justified by unique or extenuating circumstances to unauthorized users of state land, the department does not support this bill. Again, it notes that there are at least 15 statutes on the books today to deal with the problem where people innocently and are unfairly being treated, where they had moved in, occupied land, and they have an opportunity under existing statutes to have recourse. But it doesn't, in any way, shape, or form, embrace the concept that we're going to reward the cheaters and punish the regular law-abiding Alaskans, like myself and many members of this body. I look at the legislation, and I can't help but note that this legislation would shift drastically the state land use policy from one of equity to discrimination against myself and other Alaskans. Again, I'll just say, maybe we should have made it 1991, opened up the state parks, refuges, and state forests to staking by all Alaskans. Then we'd have equity. But to discriminate and select a select few people out there, pick out 1981 as a date, those people who have river boats, who have cabins on lakes and rivers, and give them an opportunity to buy into state forests, state parklands, and put a checkerboard effect in on public property is absolutely absurd and poor public policy. We have been buying in holdings in parks for years now. We spent tens of thousands and millions of dollars to try to put compact parks together. If this passes and people are allowed to go indiscriminately buy property within parks, again, you may be finding on your favorite trail and that park area or cabin that previously that you may have been able to lease or rent through the Park Service now has a no trespassing sign on it, beginning at the 5-acre line. And I can't believe that the public is being served by that policy. That checkerboard effect of taking a park or a refuge and allowing in-holdings to be arbitrarily established can't be in the best interest of the public. I only appeal to my colleagues to heed the message by the previous governor who vetoed this similar legislation and defeated today.
Senator Hoffer.
Madam President, the debate is interesting, but it refers to a different bill, and the bill is different in a very, very critical way. It is ridiculous to assume that a commissioner of natural resources would, at their option, sell land within a park and then have to go back and buy it back. The legislation that was vetoed said the commissioner shall. This legislation says the commissioner may. It is a very substantial difference. It allows the executive branch of the party from which the member speaks is referring to have the discretion to clean up some old problems. And if he thinks that his commissioner of natural resources is going to do that and sell in holdings to have to buy them back, I don't think he has a lot of faith in his executive branch. And I certainly have more faith in them than that because I don't think they're going to do that. It's a discretionary piece of legislation that allows for the cleanup of some old problems. It is not the legislation that was vetoed, and the information on the legislation that was vetoed last year is totally incorrect to apply to this legislation.
Senator Bennett.
Thank you, Madam President. I'll keep it rather short. The former speaker was absolutely correct in reference to the may and the shall. There are several other factors in here, and if one has read the bill, the final edition of the bill, you'll see that, in fact, anything that is a park and a rec area is not going to be available for sale unless the structure was built prior to the time that was a rec area or a park. I think it's interesting, philosophically and a little deeper, there are those in the current government who, in fact, don't want the private citizen to put down taproots, to own land, to become a part of our state. They'd prefer that you lease it, you rent it, or you come into some sort of a communal status. I think this is most unfortunate. I think if we used the same yardstick today and took it back a few years back, maybe back 7,500 years ago, you'd be calling Davy Crockett a trespasser. I think you'd be saying John Lewis and all of them were illegal. Yeah, I could go on and on, but I won't bore you with it. The fact is, we are the last frontier. We still have these problems we need to resolve. There still should be a way for people to put down their tap roots and, in fact, own a piece of the rock, to own a piece of Alaska, own the home that they live in, to, in fact, be able to be free citizens and not indentured on some permit or some 10-year lease or, as our ag projects are, at the discretion of the state. I think that somewhere out here there is a very, very strong philosophy. And I think the philosophy should be that if our citizens can own land and be a part, then in fact they're going to be here and their generations will be here. They'll have the old house, the old homestead. They'll have fee simple title. They'll have the American way of life that many of us were brought up in. I won't belittle it and go on and go on, but I guess I need to point out that the governor that vetoed the last bill is no longer with us. I think if you go back a little bit in history and you look at the Byrne Initiative and you look at various other messages from the people, in fact, people do want land. People don't want to be at confrontation with their government. People want peace, tranquility, a home, a place they can call their own. And without that sort of a policy by those of us who make policy, I think our state is going to have many problems in the future. You're going to have your citizens against you because you are the government. And I think every opportunity that we have to eradicate these conflicts, we should take that opportunity. Thank you, Madam President.
Thank you, sir. Further debate, Senator Hensley?
President, I would like to confirm a comment by the senator from Fairbanks. Yes, Davy Crockett was a trespasser, but I'm going to support his legislation anyway.
Thank you, sir. Senator Halford.
Thank you, Madam President. Land ownership brings up an awful lot of things, but it reminds me of a comment in a recent movie where someone made the statement that arguing about land ownership is, in some ways, for our speck in time, like two fleas arguing about who owns the dog.
Senator Szymanski.
Thank you, Madam President. I appreciate the remarks by the distinguished statesman from Fairbanks, the sponsor of the legislation, because I think that he's probably 100% correct with regard to what the intent of the public is out there with regard to land and the opportunity that they are seeking. Unfortunately, we haven't funded land disposal. Matter of fact, we've curtailed land disposal because of a lack of support in financial support to dispose of lands through the budgetary process. We've curtailed it drastically. We've done it in many different ways. But to try to use the analogy that the public out there wants land, they want it on an equitable basis. They want it on a fair basis. They don't want to see a handful of people who have blatantly violated the law being given a preference over them. I think all Alaskans are created equal, should be treated equally, and not given preference by a few who have had the opportunity through airplanes or boats or whatever to go out there and squat either in duck camps or duck shacks or in any other type of form out there, be given that privilege. I think we ought to turn all those cabins over to the public and let the public use them then, because it's on public land. But what you're really saying is let's reward the violators under this statute. It makes no sense. I think that if the sponsor really wants to accomplish what his admirable goals have been stated, then he would fund land disposal as a part of the budgetary process this year and move ahead on it with regard to development of roads or development of areas. But it's not there.
Further debate? Question. Questions been called. The question being, shall Senate Bill 41, Finance Committee Substitute, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Has any senator failed to vote? Madam Secretary, you may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Senator Katula? Any other senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary, you may record the vote. And so, committee substitute for Senate Bill 41, finance version, has passed the state Senate by a vote of 13 yeas, 4 nays, 3 excused. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move the effective date on committee substitute for Senate Bill 41, finance.
The effective date clause has been moved. Members may proceed to vote on the effective date clause for committee substitute for Senate Bill 41, finance. Has any senator failed to vote? Madam Secretary, you may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary, you may record the vote. The effective date clause for Senate Bill 41, finance, has passed the state Senate by a vote of 17 yeas, 3 excused. Next item on the calendar.
A citation honoring Colonel Norman A. Vaughn by Senators Curtula, Strzelecki, Zemanski, and Hofford, and Representative Menard.
Is there discussion? Senator Rohde?
Madam President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that my name be added to the citation for my cousin, Colonel Vaughn.
Hearing no objections, Senator Rohde will be added as a co-sponsor to Cousin Vaughn's citation. Further discussion? Senator Curtula.
Read the citation is rather an amazing person. Amazing. He's a great hero of the North, but he also has a tremendous physical capability. 4 times made the Iditarod, and at the age of 81, he crossed the line, and he wasn't last of this bunch this year again.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent the citation to be approved.
Hearing no objection, the Vaughn citation has been approved by the State Senate. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the citation honoring Daniel J. Golden III be taken up as a special order of business at this time.
Hearing no objections, the Daniel J. Golden III Eagle Scout citation will be brought up as a special order of business at this time. Is there any discussion? Madam Secretary, do you need to read that citation?
Probably.
Please do.
A citation honoring Daniel J. Golden III, Eagle Rank of Boy Scout, by Senators Strzelecki and Kelly.
Senator Rohde.
Madam President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that my name be added to this also.
Is this a cousin?
No, I'm afraid not.
Hearing no objection, Senator Rohde will be added to this citation. And Madam Secretary, I'd like to make the same motion to be added as a co-sponsor. Is there further discussion? Mr. Majority Leader.
I also would like to be shown as a co-sponsor.
Hearing no objection, Senator Halford will be shown as a co-sponsor.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the citation be adopted by the Senate.
Hearing no objections, the Daniel J. Golden III citation has been adopted by the Senate. Is there unfinished business this afternoon? Senator Zara.
Thank you, Madam President. With the consent of the sponsor of SJR 36, I would like to be shown as a co-sponsor, and the resolution is an act relating to passenger service by Korean Airlines in Anchorage.
Hearing no objection, Senator, you will be shown as a co-sponsor on the resolution 36 on Korean passenger service. Is there further unfinished business? Is there announcements? Senator Jones.
Madam President, the Transportation Committee will meet next Tuesday. It's posted outside in the hall. And on Thursday, April 9th, we will hear Senate Bill 3, an act relating to motor vehicle registration and registration plates, SJR 36, relating to passenger service by Korean Airlines in Anchorage. And that meeting will be in the Belts Committee Room 130.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Eliason.
Madam President, the Rules Committee will meet in an hour in Belt's room. We have Senate Bill 11. The bills are posted at 1 o'clock.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Coghill.
Madam President, Senate Resources will meet at 1:30 this afternoon. The bills are posted.
And I'd like to also, Madam President, remind the Senate that we have a majority caucus, open-door caucus, that upon adjournment today in the Butrovich Room, and we're going to continue on the going through the proposed uniform rules revisions.
Thank you, Senator. Further announcements? Announcements going once? Are there special orders? Mr. Majority Leader.
I move and ask unanimous consent the Senate stand in adjournment until 11 a.m. Monday.
Senate will be adjourned until 11 a.m. Monday, April 6th.